I want to bring the message from Psalm 51. Everyone who's born of God can identify with David here. They can identify with David's broken heart over his sin. Everyone that's born of God can identify with him. This psalm was written after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered. Now I know that some will say, I thought that David was a man after God's own heart. And if that being so, how could he have committed such a horrible crime? Well, David is no more guilty of murder than anyone else who has hated his brother without a cause. He's no more guilty of adultery than the man who has lusted after another woman in his own heart. The only difference is that God did not constrain David at that time. He has constrained many of us. As I heard my pastor say years ago, don't confuse sovereign constraint for personal holiness. Sovereign constraint is the reason why people do not commit more horrible crimes openly. People are going to stand before God in judgment guilty of murder and adultery, even though they may not have committed it openly. God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. A man is what he is in the heart, and God's going to judge him according to his heart, what his heart was after. The self-righteous believe they're not guilty of these things. Like that rich young ruler, he said, I have kept all these things from my youth up. No, he didn't. He kept some of them outwardly, but none of them inwardly. If we offend in one point of the law, we have broken the whole law of God. That's what the scripture says. Now, David makes no excuse for his sin like Adam did. Adam said, the woman that you gave me, it's her fault. And really, God, it's your fault. You gave her to me. You can never cure a problem until you admit you have one and quit blaming everyone else. Now let's look at this psalm. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. The sinner here, not the king, but the sinner, pleads for mercy. The guilty one pleads for God to show mercy according to his loving kindness. True godly sorrow owns up to his transgressions. We make no excuse for our sins. We acknowledge who and what we are, and we need mercy. We need God's loving kindness. As he said, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David knew something of God's tender mercies, and he knew that God was rich in mercy, for he had tasted it many times before. And so he asked God that in his tender mercies to blot out his transgressions. He was not asking God to do something that was ungodly, but to do that which was just like him to do. Show mercy and blot out my transgressions. Totally wipe them away. Totally put them away. I know this. God cannot show mercy unless he can blot out all my transgressions. He cannot look the other way as if nothing happened. God must deal with my sins in me or in my substitute. But they must be dealt with. They must be put away. So David knew this, and David knew that God could blot out all his transgressions and be a just God in doing so through the blood of the Lamb. David understood something of the gospel. God can do this. The blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And David says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. This matter of salvation is more than just bookwork. There is a real washing. There is a real cleansing. He said, wash me thoroughly. There is a real cleansing from sin, and it begins within. Men wash the outside of the cup, but it is the inside that we need cleansed. If not, listen, I not only need my transgressions blotted out, but I need inward cleansing. Sin affects my whole being, and I need that inward cleansing as well as blotting out the transgression. Therefore, we cry unto God who alone can forgive sin, who alone can wash me thoroughly inside and out. It said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we call God a liar. The hardest thing for a man to do is to say, I'm guilty. It takes God to bring a man to that place, to say, I'm guilty with no excuses. David says in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. We not only acknowledge our sin, what we are, but acknowledge that everything we do is tainted with sin. We own up to it. It's my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Sin's not something that bothers me once in a while, but something that I'm aware of all the time. In this life, we are never without sin. But when we are enabled of God to look to the Lamb of God, we find rest and hope and peace in that inner man. Now, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. This is who I've really sinned against. The very wickedness of sin is who it's against, God. God who has given us all that we have is the one whom we have sinned against. Every sin is a direct assault on God Himself. Note the boldness of sin. And done this evil in thy sight. Every sin we have committed has been in His sight. In His face, so to speak. Adam sinned in the light. He knew what he was doing. We know better. We know better, but we sin anyway. But I know this. Those who are born of God, they own up to it. And they justify God in His actions toward them. He says here in verse 4, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Whatever God does with me and whatever God does with you is right, with no controversy. Whatever He does with us is right. Now David gets to the root of the problem. He says in verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When God reveals to a sinner who and what he is, that sinner acknowledges that the fountain of his life was polluted. There's none good, no, not one, not even me. David's not saying that the act was sinful. He's saying that the seed by which he was conceived was sinful. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I'm not going to lie about what I am. God knows my heart. Be honest. Just be honest with God. God is a God of truth. He cares not for pretense. He looks on the heart. He despises hypocrites. God deals in truth. He deals in sincerity. He deals in righteousness. And He says here, in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In that hidden part, in that inner man, thou shalt make me to know Christ, who is the wisdom of God. That's who He's talking about there. Thou shalt make me to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Now He says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David wanted to be pardoned and cleansed from his sins and to be restored to those privileges which by sin he lost. And the only way for that to happen was through the appointed means, the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb. Forgiveness and cleansing is not just any old way. It's only through Jesus Christ, the appointed way. Only through Jesus Christ can I be made whole. Only through His blood can I have atonement for my soul. It is by His blood that our conscience is purged from dead works to serve the living God. Then he says, wash me. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I hear faith in David's voice. He says, Lord, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David does not question the power of the blood. But like the leper, he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. If you will, you can make me clean. Wash me. Give me real spiritual purification. If Christ washes us from our sins in His blood, we shall be whiter than snow. And then he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David's been doing a lot of talking here. But now he wants to hear God speak. He wants to hear joy and gladness. He wants to hear God say unto him, I am thy salvation. He wants to hear God say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He does not want to hear the lightning and the thunder of Sinai that says, condemned to die. He doesn't want to hear that. He does not want to hear do's and don'ts. He knows that in this flesh, he cannot please God. He knows that in this flesh dwells no good thing. He wants to hear God speak. And he wants to hear God say, I am thy salvation. Is this not what we want to hear? Do we not want to hear God say, I am thy salvation? Do we not want to hear God say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee? The only thing that will cause a broken spirit to rejoice, a spirit that God has broken through conviction of sin, the only thing that will cause it to rejoice and keep it rejoicing is to hear the gospel, to hear the good news, the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ. David says here in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. He's asking God to do what he cannot do. David's a king. He has a lot of power. But David cannot blot out his own iniquities, his own sins. But God can do that. God can blot out every one of your sins through the blood of Christ. And I know this. If he will not hide his face from my sins and blot them out, he must hide his face from me and blot me out. Now David says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me that which I lost in Adam, a clean heart and a right spirit, a right attitude, a spirit of worship. This matter of salvation is a creative power of God. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The same power it took for God to create the heavens and the earth, it takes the same power for him to create, make you a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not asking God to clean the old heart. There's nothing you can do with the old heart but bury it. There's no fixing the old heart. We need a new heart. We need a heart that loves God, a heart that hates sin, and a heart that loves the brethren. I hear these preachers say, let Jesus into your life. He doesn't want in my stinking life. What does he want to do with my stinking life? I need his life. We need him to give us life. He's not a part of my life. He is my life. If I have life at all. If I have it, it's because I have him. If I don't have him, I don't have life. Now he says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, we want to be in his presence. We want to be in the presence of God. You know what hell is? Hell is separation from God. That's hell. And he's saying, don't cast me away like you did Cain from your face and favor, but permit me to sit among those who share thy love. I deserve to be cast away, I admit that. But if I have found grace in thy sight, cast me not away, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Withdraw not his comforts. Withdraw not his counsel. Lord, teach me. And withdraw not his assistance. Lord, keep up the union. This is what David's asking. David is asking the Lord here to keep up the union. If this matter of salvation depends on me in any way, shape, or form, at any given time, it's going to fail. Now, it will fail if it depends on us for anything whatsoever, it will fail. But if it all depends upon him, if it all depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not fail. Lord, keep up the union. Lord, you keep this union up. Keep me by your power through faith. Lord, keep me. Okay. Until next time, may God bless.